You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Dr. Abdul El-Sayed wants to become Michigan's next governor. The Democrats' bid has attracted attention from all around the world. The British newspaper The Guardian, for instance, has dubbed him the next Obama. And recent polling shows El-Sayed is the strongest competitor to Gretchen Whitmer for the slot of Democratic frontrunner. But could his momentum be undone by his time spent as a professor at Columbia University in New York City? Joel Kurth's story for Bridge Magazine looks at questions about Abdul El-Sayed's eligibility to run for governor. Joel is here now. So Joel, El-Sayed was born and raised here. He headed Detroit's health department before he stepped down to run for governor. What is the potential problem?
Problem is that the Michigan State Constitution says you have to be a couple of things to be governor or lieutenant governor. You have to be 30 years old, and you have to be a registered elector in the state for the 4 years preceding the election.
So registered elector, meaning I've gone in, I've registered myself, I'm on the rolls, I can legally go vote in Michigan?
The key part is the last part, legally vote in Michigan. It's very complicated, but El-Sayed has been a registered voter in Michigan since 2003. The issue is that when he moved to New York to teach at Columbia, he registered to vote in 2012 and was considered a registered elector, registered voter in New York until 2015 at the very least. And he also re-registered to vote in Michigan in 2016. So the question then becomes, was he a qualified to vote in 2015, and a lot of election law experts say that that could trip him up.
Yeah, in fact, you spoke with six election lawyers. Interesting, none of them would let you use their name. Why was that?
Well, because it's a very small group of election lawyers, and they all work for one side or the other. This is a thing I think that people think is going to go to court. And so it'll be decided by court. There could be potential conflicts of interest. So most of them erred on the side of caution.
What'd they say?
All but one said it's a problem, and it could be a serious problem and enough of a problem to doom his candidacy. It's a slam dunk. I spoke to one who said he doesn't think it's a problem at all because El-Sayed was on the rolls in Michigan since 2003. Others said he was probably on the rolls in Michigan by accident, and that once he registered to vote in New York, New York was supposed to notify Michigan, and Michigan was supposed to cancel his voter registration. Instead, once he changed his driver's license, Michigan placed him on what's called the cancellation countdown, which means if you don't vote for two federal election cycles, then you are going to be nullified. And he was going to get nullified until he cast a ballot and registered to vote in Detroit in 2016. I'll say one thing. This is very much in the weeds of election law. It is a very minor threshold. But I will say that, you know, if we've learned nothing in Michigan in the last 4 years, from Flint to the problems with the unemployment office, it's that details matter in government. And it is incumbent on candidates to get their stuff straight. And there's a question as to whether the candidate did in this case.
Certainly. And we should note here the Detroit News and the Detroit Free Press have done follow-up reporting on this story. And, for example, the News, Jonathan Osteen tweeted, which you said, the Secretary of State's office confirmed that El-Sayed has been continuously registered to vote in Michigan since 2003, but his registration was put on that cancellation countdown status when he got the New York driver's license. So
it's very complicated. I think if there is a court case, what it would decide is whether or not he's what's called a qualified elector. People move around. Michigan lost more residents than any other state in the last 15 years. So you can be registered in multiple states, but it's sort of like the game of tag. This is what some election lawyers say. The last place you registered is where you are a qualified elector. Obviously, the candidate has a vastly different opinion.
Well, in fact, we spoke with the El-Sayed campaign today. His spokesman said this was an attack from insider Democrats. What are you hearing from this, from Democratic players you've spoken with, particularly from folks in Gretchen Whitmer's campaign?
Gretchen Whitmer's campaign is not speaking about this at all. I did not hear about this from Gretchen Whitmer's campaign. I've been covering some of the state politics for a little bit here, and I've heard that it's an open secret among Democrats and that there's a fear that this will eventually lead to a court challenge. But at this point in the campaign, El-Sayed is not enough of a threat to take to court. And so they're going to let this ride. And if he climbs in the polls, then maybe it'll become an issue for him. Now, what one Democrat told me is that they envision a nightmare scenario. He comes from behind. He wins the primary. The Republicans sue the day after the primary. And then all of a sudden, the election's in turmoil.
Would you expect the court challenge to come from one of Al-Sayed's Democratic challengers or from Republicans?
It could come from anyone. Now, it should be important to note that nothing really can happen until he files paperwork, including an affidavit of identity saying he meets these constitutional thresholds to be a candidate. And the deadline for that is April 24th. And most candidates wait until that deadline. So we're sort of in a holding pattern now.
Joel Kurth, Bridge Magazine. Thanks so much, Joel.
Thank you.
Abdul El-Sayed's communications director, Adam Joseph, gave us this response to the Bridge article.
I want to be very clear. Abdul is 100% eligible to be governor of Michigan. He has been continuously registered to vote in Michigan since he was 18 and has maintained continuous residence in Michigan since he was a kid, since his childhood. He's a son of Michigan. He was born and raised in this state. He went to public schools in this state, and he had a daughter in this state. Now, there are those who are out there who are worried about the success of our campaign and our movement and what it means for their political power. And rather than doing the work of campaigning, they're pushing, you know, backroom coronations and deals to promote candidates that fall in line with usual bought and sold politics, that they've always pushed. And this time it's not working. And only one campaign, our campaign, is actually building the momentum of a grassroots movement, and that worries them. And this is how the establishment reacts when they don't get their way and someone spoils their plans. So let's be clear, this is a political attack, right? A political attack and nothing more. It falls in line with a long history of attacks on certain kinds of people when they aspire to leadership in our democracy. Now, we knew that attacks like this were coming since day one. It happened when Barack Hussein Obama had the audacity to run for president, and his opponents questioned, you know, his belonging in America as well. And while we knew that these attacks were coming, we are disappointed. You know, we didn't expect them to come from insider Democrats that were using Trump's birther tactics.
That was gubernatorial candidate Abdul El-Sayed's communications director, Adam Joseph.